are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
A mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Hope you had a great weekend. Boy, there was some history in the making, huh? American Pharoah all the way, wearing the Triple Crown, the 12th horse to do so, and the first one in 37 years. What a race. And Broadway's Best got a great show also last Sunday. Some phenomenal shows to choose from should you be making the trek to the Great White Way. We'll talk. Inspiration to Action Challenge, success stories in the mailbag. Great music. Oh, and you're going to meet a great musical star in a moment. Get you in the mix if you're listening live on Tuesday, June 9th. It's 9 a.m. out west, 11 central. Noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Please don't forget about our 24/7 Twitter feed. So whether you're listening live or later on podcast, you can always chime in about anything and everything when it's convenient for you at AB Rights. The show today being brought to you in part by City Mobile. Shop from almost anywhere with City Mobile. Also by Walgreens. Enjoy great savings at the corner of Happy and Healthy with Walgreens. So you're going to meet this rising R&B star, Michael Eggleton, who has got a rich, timeless sound, very old-school R&B, but with his own personal flair thrown in. So we'll talk inspirations, aspirations, the wacky music biz with Michael. But first, let's sample his sound. This one's a great single. It's the remix to his tune, Baby, Baby, Baby. Michael Eggleton opening up a very busy and eclectic Tuesday edition of the Amy Beth Hartley Show.
This is the remix, y'all. So go get your partner and let me do the talking.
And listen, listen. Sit down over there. I want to talk to you about something. Sit down on the bed over there. You know, lately,
feel like I can. Can't you see I need ya? All I want to do is please ya. Please hear my cry. Sometimes I feel like I could die.
Baby, 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 Michael Eggleton is the man. We're so happy to have this rising R&B star with us. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Amy Beth, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. You got some a great sound. You know, you listen to it, you have little hints of Barry White, Donny Hathaway, maybe a little Stevie Wonder, but it's all your own sound, which is very cool, too. Let's talk about your musical journey and how you started. I know you were a young boy. Your mom gave you a guitar at a young age, and you were off and running. Give us a little description of how music piqued your interest at a young age.
Yeah, at a young age. I was very young, having come up around music, and my granddad being involved in the honky-tonks of the past, and to listen to him sit down and talk about some of the stars of yesteryear, Cab Calloway and all of them in New York,
wow,
where he was
cool
there, and also in Chicago. And he made sure his grandson, you know, got involved. I guess it was in the blood, but he brought it out,
yeah,
and he was a definite inspiration in bringing it out. And from there, it was a steady diet of Motown, Atlantic Records, the Philly sound and the stars,
sure,
and then also this area is rich in history with music, with James Ingram, the OJs, the dance band. I'm within 25 minutes of everybody. So,
yeah, well, you're out in Ohio, right? Akron, Ohio area, is that where you are now?
Yes, yes,
yeah,
the home
very
of LeBron.
Cool. Pride, yeah.
I had to get down here.
Yeah. There's a lot of rich musical, you know, pockets around the country. You know, there's the Philadelphia sound, there's the Chicago sound, New York, L.A., Atlanta is a big music venue now. Where you're at, you know, people don't always think of that. They always think, oh, it's New York or L.A., but there really are a lot of pockets of sound throughout the country,
mm-hmm,
and they're very distinct, you know, and you, as you,
mm-hmm,
expose yourself at a young age with your grandfather and your mom, infusing that in you, and of course, as you said, it's probably in the DNA. It was already there. It just got, you know, the fire was lighted, so to speak, and you, you know, got into it and exposed yourself. I think it's so crucial to expose yourself at early an age as possible to a wide range of music, so that it all comes. You know, you take what you want, and who knows how it comes out, and it comes out with your own distinct sound down the line. So that's pretty phenomenal. So how did you enter into the music arena? I mean, were you performing as a young kid? Did you wait until later to start performing? Give us a little thumbnail history of your performing history.
Well, throughout my life, I've been playing in church, and where a lot of artists and musicians come from, the black church. And I started late in life. Matter of fact, somebody asked me, Mike, why are you always so late to start? But actually, a few years ago, I should say about 4 or 5 years ago, I decided I want to do something that was me, that was my expression of music and how it came out. And so I put some things on CD, and I submitted it, you know, to a few music sites, never knowing that it would even be heard. And fortunately, someone heard it and told someone else, and then some contacts were made. And then I signed with my first record company. I'm trying to think of them now, with the That's All Right, Tate Music Group, with the That's All Right One. And from there, you know, the rest is history. Baby, Baby, Baby was an independent project that I did about 6 years ago. And Miss LaShawn Turner in California with Urban Indie Stars, she heard Baby, 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 entered it into a contest, and she asked me if I would redo this song and put it on disc. And so that's where the journey started. Really, Shirley, I would say, by divine intervention, you know, because it was not my intent to be a star, not my intent to go looking to sign anything, just sharing. That's all.
You just wanted to do it. What were you doing before? You know, you said you started later in life. Were you doing some other kind of business? You just decided that that wasn't for you after a while?
Well, I was in the industry, the production industry. I was working at the time. I was a supervisor with Gojo Industries. We were the inventors of Purell. And before that, my family owned a residential care center for at-risk youth. And then, you know, my education is in business. My bachelor's is in business administration. So I was always involved in some type of business. And then, you know, the hobby, messing with the sports cars and things. But I ended up being medically retired early from being hit by a car in the restaurant.
Oh, dear.
So I was sitting around, and after some spinal cord surgeries and what have you, I decided that this was the opportunity. Take it. So I began to do some music, and the rest is history.
It helped to heal you, I guess, at least psychically, you know, because this was something that would push you to the next thing. This is what I really need to do.
Yes.
So it's interesting because, you know, we have a lot of listeners on this show who are artists or aspiring artists, and a lot of people who I work with as a creativity coach are nervous about embarking on things in midlife, later in life, whatever, because they think it's too late. And it's so great to have somebody who has had other careers, other paths that he or she has taken, to come on and say, yeah, you know, it wasn't fulfilling me for whatever reason. This was an opportunity to take another path that maybe deep down in my heart I really wanted to do but didn't, for whatever reason, embrace at an earlier age. And I went for it. And, you know, the music business, everybody thinks, oh, it's youth-oriented, you can't do it. But if you got a good sound, and today, because you have so much access as an independent artist, you can put projects out. And as you said, you never know who's going to hear it, who's influential, and can help connect you to the next level, and one thing leads to another. So it's so great to have a living example of someone who just went for their dream and didn't really think about it. And actually, as you said, you weren't even necessarily thinking, oh, I'm going to be a big success. I'm just going to try it and see what happens. So it's the love of of the art and your craft that propelled you. But I think that gives a lot of people hope and encouragement, you know, to do it, and encourage to say, hey, try. Because if you're going to sit around, it's never going to happen, right? I mean, if you're just going to talk about it or dream about it. But, you know, embrace it, and you never know where it will lead. So good for you for doing that, and how exciting is it for you to get out there and for your granddad is smiling on you and saying, hey, maybe you should have done this sooner, but, you know, it's never too late. You know,
we
all take different courses.
As long as you've got a breath. Never
too
late.
Right, And there are different reasons why people do things, and the timing sometimes is not right for someone, whether it's their own internal clock and their own fears or, you know, whatever it may be that's holding them down back. And then sometimes it's better to wait because you have all that experience that has built up into your, into your reservoir and your repertoire. Do you like the studio work? Or do you like performing? Do you like both? You know, performing live? What's your feeling about all sides of
the I like the creation process. As a matter of fact, we're working on That's All Right 2. And as I speak to you, I'm looking at the tracks right here. And the studio process has all been a learning experience from point A to point B with the business end and also the performance end. You have to get both down to enjoy any success in this. You can't be just a performer or just a business. If you're going to be an artist, you must know the business end also. And performing, when I'm out on stage and I'm looking in the faces of the people and hoping that I'm reaching them with the music, it's a feeling you really just cannot explain. I really understand now when I hear the larger performers say they become another person. It takes them to a whole another realm. I understand that now. I really do.
And you have that great energy from the audience. It's a communal experience. That's what most performers say, right? Because you're there and they kind of feed off each other in terms of the energy, and every performance is different, and that's exciting. And it's exciting and gratifying to connect in that way. So good for you for doing it. What do you have a plan now? Because as you said, you kind of backed into it, or you looked into it. Do you, now that you've had some level of success, I know you won an award for the song that we're going to play as we wrap up. It's the best played contemporary adult contemporary song in Ohio or something last year. Do you have a plan now? Do you think, well, I have some success, I want to take it to the next level? Have you sat down and make sort of a game plan for yourself in terms of what you want to do next?
Yes, I've been building a team. I made that decision to move forward. Probably, to be honest with you, I settled into it about 6 months ago. So we're back in the studio with That's All Right, the remix, and then we have a brand new project that'll be coming out, and we'll start working on it. Probably, we were supposed to start in June, but things have been so busy lately, things are kind of getting clogged in the pipe, but we'll be starting on that possibly in August, but a brand new project will be coming. I've been building a team around me with Miss Michelle McGee at Bullseye Entertainment, Mr. Shaheen at he was formerly at CNC Entertainment of New York City, but now he's private now, on his own now. So, and also the people I've been with and who have made my persona in the media is Blue Artists. I've been with them, and they have really, really, really put me out there and really molded my brand. So they'll be starting a new record label. So we're talking now as to these new projects, whether they'll come out under that label or be independent. I love being independent also because you're not constrained as to what you can do being independent. You got full control of what's going on. So we have that in the plan. We have some surprises. We're interested in maybe looking into some little small parts on the screen. I want to get all I can while I can. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing leads to the other, which is so great. Do you have a wish list of people that you would like to collaborate with or open for, you know, as you continue to grow?
Yes. I often think about it because I'm often asked that question. Of course, we have Stevie Wonder and the bigger stars there, because I grew up with them, and to be on stage with them would probably be such an honor. I would probably faint on stage.
Okay.
But, but I would really love to get with some of the stars like Layla Hathaway. I really would love to do something with her. I mean, Donny Hathaway, is her father, is one of those that many say I sound like. Michael McDonald, I'd love to do something with him. I mean, I used to sit and just watch Michael McDonald and just emulate him. I love the man. I love his music. I love his style. And artists in this vein of soul, music that's tells a story, blues. So B.B. King would have been great. You know, we'll miss him. But the artists in that vein.
Yeah, so many great artists and so many people that you have that, as I said, you have a real timeless sound. You know, it does sound like it could be the 70s, it could be today. And I mean that as a compliment, not a negative, but you have your own unique, you know, modern kind of spin in but it is so timeless and enduring. It's a really good, rich sound. That you've come out with, and I think a lot of it, as you said, goes back to when you started just listening to music and absorbing all this stuff as a kid, because it's in there. Even if you put it aside for a while and did other things, that you obviously have the natural talent, but just all of that, you know, passion is probably was sort of hidden away for a while, and it just sort of all came out, which I think is so great, and what a great rediscovery in your life and to embrace it the way you're embracing it. And with the opportunities, I mean, as we said, there are these great opportunities now. I always call this the creative age, where everybody can kind of get their work into the world. The harder part, though,
exactly,
and talk a little bit about this, is the competition that comes with that, because it's, you have the control as an independent artist, which is phenomenal,
mm-hmm,
but you also have to kind of struggle to make sure that you stand out and people hear it, and a lot of the things that,
mm-hmm,
you've done and some of the people you've teamed with obviously have helped that. But talk about, are there frustrations attached? Are you concerned about building a base of an audience and making sure that people get to hear this great music that you're offering?
Yeah, that is. That's the one thing about being an independent artist, is that this is all the work that possibly a record label would do. It's all in your lap now. And
yeah,
my day is a 24-hour day, catching the different time zones, competing for positions, you know, in the industry and in opportunities. It costs a lot, because being independent, the money comes out your pocket. And it costs a lot, but I enjoy it because it's my life story. I'm sharing part of my life. But being an independent artist, you have to make the right alliances and really be careful how you choose and pick your opportunities and the people around you, because, you know, there are some sharks out there. I have been taken for some money and what have you, but that's all in the mix. So that's what I comment to. It's all a life lesson, and you're better for it. And, you know, alliances, making friends, and networking as an independent artist. It's a lot of work, and then your time in the studio. So, you know, you are the one wearing all the hats, and it can be frustrating. It can be, like, I've been to that point where I just wanted to say, I quit, I tried it, okay, let's move to the next thing. I've been to that point, but something inside me, it wouldn't let me do it, because it said, you got a little more to share, Mike. Just step away for a minute, then come back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a big learning curve, for sure, and as you said, you're honest to say, you know, that, yeah, I got taken from once in a while here and there, but you learn from it and you keep going. And if you got that drive and you got that passion, and what you do, obviously,
you,
and you got
it,
the talent to,
mm-hmm,
go with it. You got to have that talent part too. You got to stick with it. And you know this, because you waited a while to do it. So now you really don't,
mm-hmm,
want to give it up now. You don't want to turn back. Too late to turn. That's why I always say, when I'm writing, I'm in a writing project, sometimes I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work. But then I get to a certain point, I'm like, well, people say, how's it going? I said, well, it's too late to turn back now. So I know I've made the commitment to finish it. You know, we've gotten to a certain point. So I know what you're saying. Sometimes it is, you know, you can be disheartening if you don't see that success.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get it, but you have to work at it, and you have to really want to do it. If all you want is the glory, this is what I always say to people in any art form, whether it's writing or music or film or anything else. If all you're looking for is the fame and fortune, turn back now. There's something better to do. There's something easier to do, because that's not a guarantee for anybody. But the process, falling in love with the process, is something which I try to instill in everybody that I work with or talk with who wants to be involved in the arts. If you fall in love with the process and you fall in love with what you're doing, you can't lose. Because even if it's not received well, or if you don't make money at it, you're still going to, you know, you got the product when you're done. You still got that record. You still got that movie. You still have that book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an accomplishment, and you have to work for that. But if you just want to have the riches, we can't guarantee that. None of us can. So, you know,
No, really. You know, you got to really be true to yourself and true to the art itself.
Yeah.
And if you take care of your ear, and you take care of your business, and you do it for the right reasons, the rest will come. It will come. But to do it for the fame and fortune, as you have said, I mean, I would venture to say, I pick another profession.
Exactly.
It's sand in the hourglass, okay?
Yeah.
Mini grandmother.
exactly. But, you know, the other good part about being independent, as you were saying, you know, there was a time, and it's very rare now, even for more established artists, for the record company to pick up so much of those promotional duties and everything else. Even if you get an established record company, they really rely on, the same thing with publishing, with authors. They really rely on the authors to do a lot of the legwork and the promoting and all that stuff. So, but the So that's tough in a way. But on the other hand, if you think back to some of these artists that were molded, and sometimes they were cheated too. That's another whole story. You talk about people being cheated out of royalties and that kind of thing. You know, those old stories from way back.
Yes.
But in terms of just being molded as artists, sometimes there were people like Bill Withers, for example, who just was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He walked away from the industry because he was so disheartened by the way his career was managed that he just said, oh, heck with it, I'm walking away. So if you're independent, you really have control. And so you can manage your vision, your own projects in a way that maybe artists, you know, years ago really couldn't do because they had to answer to the record company and it might have encroached on their artistic vision. I mean, for people who care about that, you know, and you obviously do. So.
Yes, yes, yes. The record labels are really bottom line driven.
Oriented,
And being that, we also like about being independent, I'm out there before the people on the stage and I can maybe hear what they're saying, or when they come up to speak to me after a concert, say, hey, why don't you try doing this? When are we going to hear some of this? Well, with the record label, they're more into distribution now. And usually it's the bottom line, we need you to do this, we've done this, so you do this. And being independent, you're not constricted in that way. And
you can experiment however you want. Branch out and try different things, and you are, which is terrific. Now, if people want to find out more, your music is available for purchase. Do you have tour dates and things like that coming up, and do you have your website ready for them to go check out? Where's the best place to reach all your information?
Yes, my new website, www.michaeleton.com. Anything going on with me is there. It's kept updated daily. You can see even into my private life some of the things I do, because when I take pictures, post pictures, they go directly there. And if you should ever want to know anything, you go right there, and you need to get in touch with me for anything. You can just hit me right there. I'll be in concert in Cleveland, Ohio, the 29th of June at a great place called Wilbert's. It's a great music venue. And we'll also be booking some more dates in August. As I said before, we're concentrating on the studio work, and I'm trying to learn to do two things at once. But but if you go to www.michaeleton.com, I would that people would go there too. You can push on music, hear the whole project. You can leave comments. That's what I've really been encouraging people to do, is leave comments there.
Terrific. So we're going to post it all at the end of the show too. So if people, you know, screw up the spelling or whatever, I'll post the link on Twitter and Facebook so people will have it. Michael, a pleasure talking with you. I'm glad we discovered you. You've got a great sound, a great personality, and great perseverance. I wish you the best future success. I hope you keep us posted and you come back and see us again. Let's get a little set up to the song we're going to play. I think this is your big hit that you had last year, A Look Into My Heart. You have a little backstory for this song?
Yes, A Look Into My Heart is the title cut to my new award-winning project, A Look Into My Heart. And it asks the question that one may have of another. My wife and I, we've just celebrated our 35th anniversary. And,
congratulations.
Thank you. And there were times when she wondered if I really loved her, if I really cared for her. There were times I wondered if she loved or cared for me. So I just came up with that phrase, well, I wish you could look into my heart to see how I feel. And that's the backdrop behind that song. That's what that song is all about.
What a universal thing. Congratulations on so many things, Michael. And again, thank you for joining us. Real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. We'll see you again, I hope.
The
pleasure was mine. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Here's Michael Eggleton, A Look Into My Heart on the Amy Bitharkovich Show.
Can't do no more. got you sick. You're laying on the floor. Tried everything and nothing seems to work. Thrown in the towel, yeah. You're tired of this jerk. When it's all said and done, you gotta look out for number one. Yeah, she's true. I'm finally with you. It won't be long, and you'll be singing us that song. You take it over. Sleeping here, no.
Another night.
You say it's over, yeah.
I know I was right.
She have a let you go, let you go.
And turn out the light.
Now you're alone, having those bad thoughts. Right thing, or was it for naught? Can I make it on my own? I must stand alone. When it's all said and done, you gotta look out for number one. Yes, it's true. I'm fighting with you, and it won't be long. You'll be singing us that song. You say it's over.
I've given up the fight.
You won't be sleeping here, no.
I know I was right.
And you can't sleep here, no.
And turn out the light.
Gotta look out for number one. Yes, she is true. I'm finally with you. It won't be long, and you'll be singing us that song. Here now, you say it's over, over, yeah, 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 yeah.
I know I was right,
and you can't sleep here now.
And turn out the light.
When you've done all you can, and you can't do no more. Love got you sick, yeah, and you're laying in the floor. Tried everything, and nothing seemed to work. Thrown in the towel, yeah, you're tired of this jerk. When it's all said and done, you gotta look out for number one. Yes, it is true.
MichaelEggleton.com is his website, and we will keep you apprised of this talented man's rise. It is the Amy Beth Urquhart Show. Reach out and join us if you're listening live on Tuesday, June 9th. The conversation can be yours if you call us at 347-857-4505, or, of course, you can use the popular 24/7 Twitter feed at AB Writes. Nixie chiming in, another great interview, AB, great rapport. Michael sounds fabulous, like his music. All right, there you go, Michael. We're getting you some new fans, I hope. And Pearlie says, good sound. He sounds like he's got a great big heart, too. Indeed. And Ronaldo, I like the tunes. I hope you keep it going. You know what? I think we will. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, and even if there's a monkey hanging around, it won't stop our show. Here's a classic from Honeycomb.
Play! the applause sign not working again?
Stylistics. I haven't heard that one in a while. Rock and Roll Baby and Monkey Honeycomb, One Monkey Don't Stop No Show. On the Amy Beth Arkowi Show, thanks again going out to Michael Eggleton. He inspired us to keep those smooth grooves coming. Reach out to the Free Flow Pop Culture Convo at 347-857-4505 if you're hopping aboard live on Tuesday, June 9th. Otherwise, it's the Twitter feed at AB Writes, which gets all kinds of attention even live. So Dottie chiming in. I really like his sound. I will check it out. Thanks again for the interview. Well, thank you, Dottie. I appreciate it. He does have a really good sound. Timeless, you know what I'm saying? Very cool. Hey, I hope you had a great weekend. Big stuff, of course, as we mentioned, American Pharoah winning, making history with the Triple Crown. First time in 37 years. Wow. And no photo finish. This race was his from the beginning, although they said he got a late start out of the gate. But wow, did he just go. And the jockey, Victor Espinoza, said he knew it. He just felt it, that horse had it. And all the way into history. Indeed. Wow. Very impressive. Really exciting to watch it. It's one of those rare things nowadays with everything being so sliced up into our variety pie where people watch things on demand, listen to things different times. I think everybody was riveted to that race at that time. So it was a very communal event. Wow, what an exciting thing. And on Sunday, the Tony Awards showcased Broadway's best. As usual, it is the best of the award shows. They just have a way of doing it because they have so much rich talent to play off of and all those great performances. I think the host, I think some people said they didn't get a great review in the internet yesterday, but I thought they did a great job, Kristen Chenoweth and Alan Cummings. They had great rapport. It was fun. Some of their costume changes I could have lived without. I know they brought in noted Vogue editor Anna Wintour to kind of overdo the give a new look in terms of clothing and staging and all that. I'm not sure if that played out that well or not, but it was a fabulous show. As always, there's always some questionable dresses on the part of the presenters and winners, but that's another story. But the performances, wow, some great performances. Not that many surprises. The big winners, A Curious Case of the Dog of the Nighttime, I think, was the favorite to win Best Play. It looks intriguing, beating out Hand to God, which also looks very innovative and fun. The musical end of things, American in Paris, actually enticed me more than the winner, which was Funhouse, which I guess is a more modern, innovative show. But the selections that I've heard, and I've heard them in a couple of other places, a little underwhelmed. But it's probably an intriguing show, too. If you can see every show, I would go see all of them, if you can pull that off. Helen Mirren was stunning, gave a great speech. She, again, another formidable turn, this time on the stage. It's her first Tony, by the way, playing the Queen in Peter Morgan's The Audience, about her interactions with her various prime ministers. That looks like one to watch. As The Fish in the Dark, which got shut out with nominations, Larry David and Jason Alexander wrapped the whole show up with an amusing interchange. Jason Alexander, as you may know, is taking over the Larry David role starting tonight. So that looks like it could be worth the ticket as well. Some good stuff out there on Broadway. Something Rotten looks hilarious. The New Time Daily, It Should Happen to You, looks very fun. They do themselves a great service because they showcase these shows. Some of them, they showcase some shows that weren't even nominated, like Finding Neverland. It gives Broadway a boost as we enter the big summer season for tourists to come into town. And I think if you're headed into town, you will see some of these shows will still be around. I think many of them are doing well. It's a big season for Broadway this year and some good stuff to choose from. So weigh in. We've been talking about it since yesterday at the Twitter feed at AB Writes. Your favorite moments from the Tony Awards. We have a few of those. Milo says, my favorite acceptance speech from the Tony Awards was Ruthie Ann Miles of The King and I. It was a great, spirited speech. Yes, she was fun. And not so crazy about her. Her dress. Oh, no, it wasn't bad. There was one person who had a crazy dress. I forget who it was. That just was ill-fitting. Well, there were a couple of those, I guess. A lot of people liked Scott said also really loved Ruthie Ann Miles' speech. All right, so she won over a lot of folks there, too. Let's see. Who else do we have? Anybody else on the Tony Awards? We have a few people commenting on different things, so I want to just get us our Tony Awards people here. Millie says, congrats to Tony Awards winner Christian Borrell. Great speech and shout out. Really appreciate it. All right. All right, we'll take a peek later for some more of these if we can find them. King and I really took home the best revival, which was cool too. So, lots of good stuff, lots of good shows to see if you happen to be walking down and headed to Broadway. Here are the Drifters.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
They say there's always magic in the air.
On Broadway.
But when you're walking down that street and you ain't had enough
Scott Barkaway Show with the Bee Gees, the Drifters 2 on Broadway as we commemorate the Tony Awards. Wow, what a big show it was. Reach out with your comments, 347-857-4505 or the Twitter feed at AB Writes. Smithy says, going to see Something Rotten this weekend. Can't wait. It looks great. Yeah, it does. Tanya, Curious Case, saw it, loved it, best play I've seen in years. Yeah, that one's on my list. And Shelley says, An American in Paris looks so good. The dancing is phenomenal. And who could beat the music? Well, apparently Funhouse did. You know, awards are just awards. People debate them. It's like apples and oranges. But the show gives a chance to showcase so much. And whether you win an award or not, there's so much great stuff out there. So if you're headed to New York, hop aboard. And don't forget about checking out the TKTS booth in Times Square. There's also one in Brooklyn. You can get great discounts on a lot of shows. Sometimes the harder tickets are tougher to get the discounts for, but you have a lot to choose from, especially if you haven't seen any shows in a while, because the tickets are pretty darn pricey, that's for sure. It is the Amy Beth Berkowitz Show. Unfortunately, some sad news to convey. As you know, Beau Biden, the son of Vice President Joe Biden and former Attorney General of Delaware, passed away at the age of 46. His funeral, very moving funeral, was last Saturday. President Obama delivered a moving eulogy, as did his siblings, Hunter and Ashley. I don't know how these people got through it. It was so emotional to even watch, but they did. Broke up a little bit, but now they got through it. Really seemed like a phenomenal young man, 46 years old, prime of his life, apparently had been suffering with brain cancer for a couple of years. They kind of kept it under wraps from the public, I guess. I had heard a few years ago he suffered a stroke, but I thought he was recovered. He was the attorney general on the fast track to becoming the next governor of Delaware and who knows what else, but crammed a lot of living and a lot of important work in those 46 years. There was a young woman on who talked about he was the only person who would take this very, elaborate sexual assault case and took on taking down a doctor who had abused so many patients. There was a chance for him to go into the Senate, pretty much walk into the Senate seat, and he said, no, I have some work to do as Attorney General to finish, and he wanted to finish that case in particular, and did so. So really a beautiful person and a hardworking person, left way too soon. Boy, that emotion in that church, and you could just see the love, mutual, it's for real, I think, between Obama and President Obama and Vice President Biden, for sure. Wow, what a loss to that family and to the country. Also just found out that Vincent Bugliosi has passed away. Bugliosi, as you may recall, was the prosecutor in the infamous Charles Manson case. He died at the age of 80. His son said he had struggled with cancer for years. He died Saturday night. His son says his father had an unflagging dedication to justice in everything he did, became an author, wrote several books. His best-known book, of course, Helter Skelter, which I remember reading as a kid. I just couldn't get enough of it. Maybe that's why I'm intrigued by crime and psychology of criminals. It was really about that case, the infamous case, which now, by the way, has gotten a new look, a fictional version, a fictional account, in a miniseries called Aquarius, about a detective played by David Duchovny in his comeback TV role, who is on the trail of Charles Manson and other things that sort of intertwine. It's kind of fascinating and intriguing. So Vincent Bugliosi, another important crime fighter, has passed away at the age of 80. And just last week, we learned, apparently, of the death of Louis Johnson, who was the bassist and singer for that popular 70s band, the Brothers Johnson. Only 60 years old, he was young. He had a string of funk hits with the Brothers Johnson, worked as a session musician for Quincy Jones, notably on the Michael Jackson albums Off the Wall and Thriller. He was found dead at his home on May 21st, the cause of death so far unknown. Quincy Jones said, I considered Louis a core member of my production team. He was nicknamed Thunder Thumbs. His brother George was known as Lightning Licks. He created a driving sound with his percussive string slapping technique. He was an early popularizer of the electric slap bass style in funk, along with Larry Graham of Sly and the Family Stone, but only 60 years old. Wow. Just way too young. Their biggest hit back in the 70s? You know this one, right? Strawberry Letter. 23. Brothers Jump.
Hello. I'm gonna be with my baby. I'm free.
Do you know?
that's the tune that put Meyer Hawthorne on the list with The Walk a couple of years ago. What a great song. Also, Gene Knight, Mr. Big Stuff, and Strawberry Letter 23 from the Brothers Johnson, as we remember Louis Johnson, who passed away at the age of 60. Wow, way too young. It is the Amy Beth Darkwee Show. Reach out. Phone line still open for a few more minutes, 347-857-4505. Twitter feed is always open at AB Writes, where Leonie chimes in. She says, hey, really want to see Hand to God, but can't make it to New York. Will they have a tour? I suspect they will, Leonie. Most of these shows do go on a touring company, so be on the lookout in your local area. And what a great point you alluded to. There are so many great theater cities. It's not just New York. Chicago, Minneapolis, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, to name a few, have some great storied theaters. And even if you're in a smaller area, there's great local theater everywhere around this country, so be on the lookout for that. And many of these shows will have a touring company. So, yeah, I suspect it will. I don't know for sure, but I suspect so. And you can do a little digging on the Internet to find out the exact dates and cities that may be around your area. So just think about that and keep it in mind. Shay says, hey, another great show. Only heard part of it. We'll catch the rest on podcast. Well, thanks, Shay, for the reminder. It's true. All the shows are archived for podcasts. That's the beauty of this whole Internet on demand thing. So if you miss a show, want to hear it again, you can just go to the Blog Talk Radio site, follow the Amy Beth Arkwee Show there, download episodes at iTunes, NetNow, or my website, amybetharkwee.com. And that's the place to stop by if you want to be a guest on the show. And speaking of great guests, coming up Friday, our producer Trudy Hart snagged us a biggie, Brett Butler, the incomparable TV star, comedian, and psychic medium. This is really intriguing to me, how she wraps it all together. We'll be here to talk about her years on that great show, Grace Under Fire, what she's been doing since she's been kind of out of the spotlight, although she's trying to make her way back in with appearances on Anchor Management and other things. We'll talk all about that, but if you say to yourself, hey, you know, I want to participate, I'd love to ask you a question or two, but I know I always listen on podcasts. I can't make it live on Friday. Well, you know what? You can ask a question. Just go to the Twitter feed, AB Writes, and you just give me the hashtag Brett Butler with the question or comment. Or you go to my website, amybetharkwee.com, click on the email icon, and just give us your question or comment. And we'll relay it to Brett if it, you know, sounds reasonable and fits in with our interview, of course. That's coming up this Friday at noon, and thereafter on podcast, the incomparable Brett Butler. Really looking forward to this one. I look forward to all of them. We had a great guest today, Michael Eggleton, up-and-coming rising R&B star. I think we'll hear a lot more from him as well. Hey, the Inspiration to Action Challenge success story today. Hey, Clive in Reading, Pennsylvania, says he's working on a music project and a memoir. And he writes, here's how your challenge worked for me. You sat my duff down, got me to think about what I was doing, stopped talking and more doing, and I am. So thank you. You give good nudge, lady. I do. That's the whole point. We give you a good nudge. And if we've nudged you to the point of success, I'd love to give you a shout-out because you deserve it, and it spirits other folks on. Reach out to the website, amybetharkwee.com. Again, easy access via Twitter in case you get vexed by the spelling. Go right in there. And also, on the other hand, if you need to get that nudge, let's start that creativity coaching conversation you've been putting off. First one always on me. Just give me a week or so to get back to you, and I'll do it at amybetharkwee.com. Easy as pie. Well, I don't know about pie. Is pie easy? I don't know. Eating it is easy. Making it maybe not so much. Want to hitch a train? I'll see you midnight. We'll go down to Georgia. Here's Gladys Knight and those stylish pips on the AB Beth Arkwee Show. Lots of smooth grooves today, huh?
Too much for the man. So he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, 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 what's left of the world? The world he left behind. Not so long. Live without him in mind.
World.
but he sure found out the hard way that dreams don't always come true. Oh no. So he turned all his hopes and even sold his old car, bought a one-way ticket back to the life he once knew. Oh yes he did, he said he would. Oh no, he's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. Said he's going back to find,
going
ooh,
back to find
a simpler place and time.
That right.
Ooh,
yeah,
now it's gonna be with him.
I know you will.
Oh, that midnight train to Georgia. I'd rather live in his world than live without him.
Right.
took my time,
'cause I felt so all alone.
Not far away,
I heard a funny sound, took a look around, and I
could see her face.
Smile as she came calling out my name, so I
know where to go.
Playing those games on the Amy Betherkowi Show, from horse racing to soccer to baseball, lots of games around these last few weeks. And the Mets and Yankees both in first place, tenuously anyway, in baseball. We'll see what happens tonight. So there you go. The Spinners, by the way, don't you think they should be Rock and Roll Hall of Fame bound this year? I think it's about time. Great sound, great group. And Midnight Train to Georgia from Gladys Knight and the Pips. Fabulous stuff. Thanks again to Michael Eggleton. He started us on the journey of smooth grooves. Also, as a bonus, he kept us out of the political arena and the Duggars. So there's a bonus. We'll get to those probably on Friday. Along with our great guest, Brett Butler. Don't forget, if you have questions or comments for Brett but can't make it live, you can do so via Twitter at ABWrites, hashtag Brett Butler, or the website, amybetharkowi.com. Hey, thanks so much to the TCS crew, Trudy Aurora, and ML at headquarters for keeping the whole darn thing moving.
That's the last straw.
Well, yeah, I guess we're ready to go soon.
What the heck was that?
Nice work, people. Well done. Very solid work.
Another day, another opportunity to impress everyone.
Well, guys, I think we've all learned a valuable lesson here today.
And another adventure draws to a close.
When I say good, you say bye. Good.
Hey, don't forget to friend me on Facebook. We'll hook you up with the Radio Graffiti updates. You can, of course, chime in via the website, amybetharkowi.com. Follow our producer, Trudy Hart, at Twitter, at Radio Trudy, and you can follow me in our 24/7 Twitter feed at ABWrites. Chime in about anything and everything, including stories you'd like us to talk about, with the hashtag BigStory, and we will try to get to it. Simple as that. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. Always fun to tweet with you in real time, for sure. Phone calls, when we get them, we appreciate it. Michael Eggleton, as I said, michaeggleton.com. We'll post his website and the podcast in just a little while when it's all ready to go. So have a great week. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkwee Show. We're going to clean up now with Betty Wright. Take care.